Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives with Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I am Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation of all things that matter, our friends, our finances, our families, our futures, and we are celebrating, Lindy!
Homeownership Month!
Woo! The entire month of June is National Home Ownership Month, and celebrating with us today, she is the managing principal broker at Movin' and Groovin' Realty Solutions, PLLC. That's actually my favorite name of any realty company. Movin' and Groovin', Kayla Hahn.
Hey, thanks for having me.
That's it. Come on, Kayla. Movin' and Groovin'.
Woohoo!
There we go. Now we're there. I got to ask, where did you start? Where did the name come from?
Well, no matter what life throws you, you have to keep moving and grooving. So that's kind of where I got it from. We're home of the wraparound experience and meet everybody individually where they're at in their own certain path of home ownership and wrap our arms around them, give them a wraparound experience.
That is actually lovely because, of course, in my generation, I'm thinking, I'm over here in my head singing, grooving. You don't even know that song would be my guess.
I've never heard it.
Oh, my Lord. Lindy, I'll give you a tutorial on that afterwards. So you have been a realtor now for how many years, Kayla?
5 years.
And in that 5 years, you have learned so much. You've been with a couple different companies, got some really great mentors under your belt, and you just opened up your new business just last fall.
Actually, February 6th.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that even. So, wow, just a couple months now.
Yeah.
Wow.
She hadn't been grooving quite as long as you thought.
Well, I've been grooving longer than you've known.
She's always been grooving, let me tell you. Kayla, I got to ask. So what made you decide to become a realtor?
Well, in 2020, life kind of hit us in a really wild manner, and I was laid off due to COVID. Single mom, no job, and a mortgage payment that was due. So I had to decide to do something, and I decided to jump into real estate.
That's a big jump.
Yes, it is, especially in 2020 during COVID. So, I celebrate that you've done so well.
Thank you so much.
Yay, because while, you know, the housing market has been super hot the last few years, in 2020, not so much, because it was a tough time. Tell us a little bit more about how did you get so brave?
Yeah, so it was a happy accident. One of my very favorite people in the entire world, Annette Renaud, she's a realtor as well. She was my real estate agent when I purchased my own home at 27. And I called her. I said, hey, I've just lost my job. I just went through a divorce. Everything's going crazy. What can I do? And she came. She sat with me. We talked about selling my house. And before she left, she said, there's no way I'm letting you sell your house. You need to join my team. So she was amazing. She took me under her wing and has taught me so much since.
That is amazing. And say her name again.
Annette Renaud.
And is she still in realty?
She is. She works at Krylak Brown Realty.
All right. So while we're here with Movin' and Groovin' today, but you know what? There are good friends, good people all over the place that lift each other up, and hats off.
Absolutely. She's amazing.
No, that's great to hear. So one day you're unemployed, the next day you're
figuring it out,
gonna
moving
be a
and grooving.
So talk about what that was like, and, you know, how blown was your mind? Hey, so we're going to go with this. How far out was that, man?
There you go, groovy.
It was pretty far out. Annette and I became great friends. She allowed me to start taking some of her leads and working with buyers and figuring out, you know, what they needed. Each family needs something a little differently. And then we kind of branched out, and she taught me how to take on my own listings.
And that's really what it's all about. I think it's having that network. And you and I met along the way, and we talked about some different opportunities and got a chance to introduce you to the USDA 502 direct loan.
Yes.
She's got a big smile on her face. If you could see this. So having been someone who bought a house, And now you're on the flip side and you're learning, wow, this is all the stuff that happened behind the scenes. Was that just crazy?
Well, it really made me realize why a lot of people don't learn about home ownership. You know, it's a lot to take on, myself included. You know, when I was 18, I had moved 34 times before I turned 18 years old. So having stability in a place to live is something that I didn't really have. And it's something I'm passionate about helping other people find.
You just said something. I'm gonna back it on up there. How many times did you move?
34.
I went to 11 different schools growing up. How many schools did you go to?
4.
Okay. Well, you got lucky there, at least.
I did. They were all in Crossville.
Oh, there you go. Perfect. So the instability of moving.
Wait a minute. I have to play.
Oh, here you go.
I went to 5.
All right.
Whoop. Yeah. In kindergarten.
Wow.
Oh,
all
wow.
Right, Wendy's on the board. Wendy's here to play. So when we're looking at being in this housing space, right, we are all longing for stability. And with everything that goes on and behind the scenes with different loan programs and governmental programs and things, and I'm not going down a political track, I promise you. I'm just with all of the different things that are out there. The one thing that we know time and time in statistics is that home ownership matters, not just to that one person, not just to the Kayla who moved 34 times, not just to Stace who went to 11 different schools, and Lindy went to 5 different kindergartens. That stability matters. Children do better in school. Crime is reduced. People become more involved in their communities. The tax base is grown. So that one house changes everything. So Kayla, you got your first home. You were how old when you bought your house?
27.
What was that like when you get to the closing table and you sign your name on the line and they hand you the keys? What was that moment for you?
Totally amazing. It was incredible. You know, it's something that I've worked for several years and finally got to accomplish my dream. It was my dream to own my own home.
And now you're on the flip side of that table and you're the one handing that key. How many times do you dissolve in tears?
Every single closing.
Every single time. I'm right there with you. I mean, it's the old Dolly Parton adage that no one here gets to cry by themselves because, you know, pass the tissue, we're all crying together. It is so emotional, especially with that first-time home buyer, because oftentimes they've gone through housing counseling and homeownership preparation, and maybe they had some credit issues or some financial issues or some things that they had to clean up. And that's one of the beautiful things about Clinch Pal, and I'm going to have Lindy speak on that, that we have a HUD-certified housing counseling agency staff, not just we've got a staff that's second to none that are there to work with you every step of the way and get you to that finish line. Because when you hand somebody the keys to their home, you're not just handing them a place to live, you're handing them a future.
Right.
That's exactly right. Because stable homes build stable families build stable communities. And that's what we're all about. And Stacey's right. But when you enter the door at Clinch Pal, our goal is to get you to yes. We can't want it more than you do. You know, you have to be willing to do the work, but no matter where you are on the journey, we can get you to yes. So, and so sometimes the dream, well, so many times when people come in, they can't even dream of home ownership. You know, that it seems so far away. But you know what? For people who are willing to be determined about it and follow along with our program with the counselors, it seldom takes more than a year.
Right.
Usually it doesn't take anywhere near a year, but it, you know, even the biggest hurdles that you face, when you face them along, they're really a lot bigger than they really are. So, and there's no fee for our services. So we love it when we can get people in the program moving up and turn them over to people like Kayla that can then help them find their dream home, and then we can help them pay for it.
And get them moving and grooving.
That's right.
So now that you're a realtor and you've been doing this for a while, what are some of the things that you've learned along the way that maybe me as a first-time home buyer or you as when you first bought your home didn't know but would like your clients to know when they come to you?
Most of the time, a mortgage payment is going to be less than your local rent payments. That's the number one thing. So once you sign up for that mortgage and you have a fixed interest rate, you have that fixed payment, you're guarding yourself and giving your family additional stability again and not having to worry about rate increases. So that's a huge thing. I always thought it was more expensive to own your own home, but actually, it's not. The National Association of Realtors just released an article that said nationwide, now across the nation, if you purchased a home 10 years ago, you probably have $225,000 in equity if you purchased at an average price.
Wow. 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 And equity means cash. It means money. It means generational wealth.
It sure does. Yeah. I mean, for you and your children.
Exactly. Because for, you know, 99% of us, it is our real opportunity towards having wealth, you know, a personal wealth. Now, you know, it is equity, and equity can be converted to cash, but it's more like retirement.
Yes.
It's more like a huge catastrophe happens, you know, in the family. Lord help, it doesn't, but it can be converted to cash if you desperately need it, kind of thing. So, but I'm not surprised about that article, because of course we've been in a crazy market, especially since COVID. So a couple of questions I have, is number one, let's start a little and back here and say, well, why a realtor? What do you personally, as a realtor, what do you bring to the transaction? And if I'm looking for a home, what questions should I ask potential realtors to have a good match?
That's a good question. So what I bring to the table is, you know, especially with the first time home buyers, been there, done that. So I can help you in that process. But also I bring a knowledge of what it takes to get to the point that you can become a homeowner. In addition to working with first time home buyers, because most of the time when you purchase your first home, sometimes it doesn't match up with your dream home. But with the equity that you're building, you can always trade in and trade up in the future. So it's important to know that. As a realtor, I feel like I help my clients see through the hard times, because there are hard days during the process, days you want to give up. Annette actually, oh, I probably shouldn't say this. Annette used to tell all of her clients that by the time you're done with this process, you're going to wish you'd had 3 colonoscopies. So I feel like I'm a pretty good partner to have during that case.
Yeah. I mean, it can be overwhelming. The other thing I would say great realtors like Kayla do is they're the ones that are facilitating the little stuff that's so important along the way, the inspections, the negotiations. You know, I sold my rental property and everyone's like, oh, you probably just sold it yourself because you've been in. Oh, no. There is no way I'm going to sell my own, because I'm not an expert. Right? That's not my area of expertise. I can tell you about financing all day long, but I want to know that when I'm pricing my house, that I'm pricing it appropriately. I don't know what's on the market, but I know Kayla does. Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm going to defer to somebody who has that experience. I don't know who to call if I need to put a roof on and how to negotiate that with my buyer, but Kayla does.
It's important. You know, I've lived in this area most of my life. So going back to the questions you would ask the different realtors, I think how long have you been in the area is a huge one, because you have to be familiar with the area, the school systems, the different restrictions in the area, zoning guidelines and regulations, which are different in each city. So it's important to know that they know what they're talking about.
And important to remember that Kayla's not going to get paid until that sale is complete.
That's true, too.
And I tell clients all the time, you know, when they'll say, well, I can just do this myself, right? Well, yes, you can. And is this your area of expertise? Do you feel comfortable executing a legal document by yourself and making sure it's correct? Do you know who to do all of these things? Yes, you could theoretically do this. Or you can have a quarterback on your team. And that's, to me, what the realtor is the quarterback of the team. Because as the financing partner, I'm in one lane, and you know, I'm going to carry the ball to the finish line and help you get the financing to score the touchdown. But I'm not the one that's throwing it, right? That's the quarterback. The quarterback's calling shots, was working with that client day in and day out to make sure that not only is their house that they're selling priced appropriately and all of those sides getting taken care of, but them as a buyer, that their new home is also being put together correctly. And there's a lot that goes into being a realtor that people just don't know.
There is a lot that goes into it. You know, daily research of the market. You have to know what's happening day in and day out. There are always price reductions. Inventory's moving quick, especially in our area. We've been named one of the best places to retire in the whole world. So you got to be on your duck, have all your ducks in a row.
Okay. So homeownership month. Let's look at it from two sides, home buyer and home seller. As a realtor, what are the three biggest mistakes that you see sellers make when they want to sell their house?
Three biggest mistakes. First of all, I think not having a professional come in, not talking to the realtor beforehand to see what is going to be the most advantageous repairs that they have. I think that's the biggest thing, because if you repair the house appropriately, then you kind of skip all of those chaotic hurdles in the middle when inspection time comes. The second thing I think is more recently sellers trying to get greedy. You know, I said it. We've been in a hot market for years now, and they're just sometimes sellers can get a little greedy, and that's a big mistake. It's important to know where your market is, what the inventory is going for. And then the third I would say is not cleaning and showing pride of ownership as much as they should. You know, curb appeal is everything. When that buyer pulls up, they're excited to open that door. And it's important that you keep in mind of where the buyer is. The buyer is excited. This is the biggest purchase they've ever made in their whole lives, probably. And it's important that you present your home well.
I just can't underscore what you just said so strongly.
Yes.
You know, because now we can all get on the so many programs and look at the houses that are for sale and the photographs that are on there. You know, it's like if they don't pick the clothes up out of the floor when photographs are being made of their home to sell, it speaks to their likely attitude towards regular or simple home maintenance.
Right. I mean, if that's what we can see, what can we not see?
Exactly. Yeah. In what you care about. So flip flop on the home buyer side. What's the biggest mistake and expectations they might have?
I think biggest mistakes that buyers make, first of all, is not shopping around for a lender. There are amazing programs that are available, especially in our area, because we're such a rural community, that are available to you, you know, where you don't have to save thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to make this happen. I think that's the number one thing. Second thing is just kind of running in a house real quick and saying they love it, or if they don't. It's important to look at the smaller things, and luckily that's what I'm here for. While you're oohing and aahing, I'm looking at the more particular things, making sure the air filters have been cleaned and the baseboards have been washed. You know, there aren't leaks underneath the sinks. That's kind of what I do during the process while we're looking at homes. And then the third thing that buyers do.
I have one. Not communicating with their lender when their lender asks for documents. There is a time limit. We are under time constraints. Please communicate with your lender so that we can get you to the closing table on time.
That's a good one. Yeah.
We like that one. We all in agreement?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have one. Expecting the Taj Mahal on, you know, a small house budget.
Mercedes Tase on a Honda budget.
Yeah. And this is, I get this a lot, obviously, from the lending side, is I'll use this analogy. Think back, all of us think back for a moment to our first car. Think about that first car that you got, right? No matter what it was, this was your car, and you're going to wash this car every week. No one's going to have any food or drink in that car. It doesn't, right? Is this sounding familiar at all?
Super familiar.
Right? And then you have the car for a couple weeks or a couple months, and then the transmission goes out, or it needs new tires, and I hate this car. Why did I ever get this car? This car was the biggest mistake I ever made. I can't wait till I get the new car. So then a couple years down the road, you can afford a new car, a newer car. So you get that next level car, and this car, no one is going to breathe on it because this is my, and then again, about 3-4 months later, and then it's like, okay, and then you get the brand new car, and it's like, wow, no one's even going to look at my car, and right, so we have this thing as humans that we want to advance, right? We want to go to the next shiny ball, right? The shiny, shiny, shiny. So I think it's the same way when I kind of lay that out to our homeowners, it's like, you know, for a first-time buyer, this is your first home. It's not more than likely going to be your last home. And also statistics say, what is the statistics? Kayla, I'm going to ask you, what is the average home purchase time that the first-time buyer is in their first home? What's the average?
Between 2 and 5 years.
2 and 5 years. 2 and 5 years. It used to be 7. So you can see, I mean, we're even more shiny ball now, right? So we have to look at this purchase as this is not your end-all, be-all, final home. This is your first home. So if your goal is that eventually you want to be on 100 acres and you want to have cattle and you want to have the barn and you want to live off the land and you want to have the big spread, that's not your first home, more than likely. And if it is, you know, then I want to talk to your lender and, you know, it's probably mom and dad. Did I say that?
I'm betting grandparents.
There you go. So, yeah.
I tell most people when they buy their first home, you know, you have to keep in mind that's probably going to be your first rental in the future.
No. Oh, well, there you go.
That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, make them some more income there. So, yeah, it behooves you to take care of that home. So whether you're going to, so you can get the most rental and or get the most equity out of it when you sell it again.
That's right, yeah.
So how do you feel about location, Kayla?
What about location?
Yeah, in terms of if I come to you as a buyer, I might. What if I fall in love with a house, and there are thoughts about location? Should I think about location?
Well, the thing about location is it's the one thing you can't change about a house. Is the location. So location is extremely important. If we find a house that you love and it's in a bad location, then we can look in better locations to find the house that we can make into what your dream home would look like.
I have another mistake I'm going to throw out, and that's not defining what your needs and wants are. So that's the other piece of advice that I'll give first-time buyers especially is before you go out and look at 900 houses, make yourself a list. These are my must-haves. Must have 3-bedroom, 2-car garage.
Absolutely.
Must be in this school district. I would really like to have a fenced yard. And, you know, I'd like it to be in this neighborhood. So you've got your things that are you can give up, but you don't give up the must-haves. And then you can better define your search so Kayla can take you out and find things that are going to match your needs versus going out and just looking at anything.
Right.
And wasting everybody's time.
Right. We always start with a must-haves list. Then I set up a customized portal for each of my clients based on those qualifications and criteria that you're looking for individually.
I think that is just the best advice and the best practice to do because, you know, we all have so many wants, but depending on where we are in our life, unless we're ready for that 100 acres and,
yes.
you know, McMansion or whatever it is we're building on that 100 acres, it is so in our best interest, in the interest of our family, to focus on the needs and then get as many of the wants as you can. But you know, it's like know where you're comfortable, because the other thing is when you apply for a loan, you know, the amount of loan you can qualify for does define how much house you can buy. But you need to step back from that and say, okay, I can qualify for this loan and the payment will be X, but do I feel comfortable
yes.
with X?
Right.
What, you know, if I pay X, then what else has to change in my life?
Yep.
So, you know, it's you don't want to be house poor,
yes.
but you also, but you want to be very house reasonable. May need to stretch, but you know, because while we may move in 2 to 5 years, we're not going to move in 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, that may not be the best financial decision to move too quickly. But, you know, it's like an ecosystem in deciding to be a homeowner.
Yeah.
And it's not for everyone, but it is for many of us. And if you have the dream of home ownership, having trusted partners with a good realtor you can trust, with a good lender that you can trust, with the other people involved, home inspector that are reasonable. It's a community.
Yes.
That moves you into a home ownership where you can actually feel comfortable.
That's
for
right.
Your family.
That's right. And mm-hmm. One of the things that I do when I'm talking to somebody and they first come to us is before I let them know what they qualify for, I ask them, where are you thinking? What is your I cannot pay more than number? Because I want to see where their head's at.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So many times I'll throw out, and I could throw out a number, and they would be like in sticker shock, right? You know, because they don't understand. Well, and then we go with, you know, taxes and insurance and everything else that are involved. So it's really important, I feel, that we establish up front that where are you comfortable? What is your number? Because even though you can go for more, and I will get you qualified, I will submit you at the highest amount, because as we all know, my number might have been X, but I found this house and now it's X plus. So we want to be able to have that, because we can always go down, we can't go back up. So understanding when you come in to ask those questions, and if your realtor and if your lender are not willing to sit down, and I don't know anyone that wouldn't be, but if they're not willing to sit down and say, how can we help you? Then maybe that's not the right fit, because like I
probably
said,
probably not.
No, you are the quarterback. Kayla is the quarterback, and she's the one that's going to be taking that ball across the finish line along with that homeowner. So moving and grooving, I want to give you we got just a couple minutes. Tell us what else you're doing, Kayla.
With Moving and Grooving?
Yes. Because you said a wraparound service.
Yeah, so a wraparound experience, it's different for every person. You know, when we meet those sellers that haven't maintained their home properly, or maybe just don't know what it takes to sell their home because they were a first-time home buyer, now they're a first-time home seller. Sometimes it needs to be cleaned up, so we do declutter jobs. We do clean up inside and outside. We also do home repairs. If that's needed, we work with a local contractor that is licensed and insured, just to prepare homes properly for buyers. Then on the buyer side, you know, everybody has a different schedule. So you might need to look at houses at 7 o'clock in the morning. You might need to look at 7 o'clock at night. Paperwork might need to be done at 2 o'clock in the morning. It might be done at 10 o'clock in the morning. You never know. So it's different for every family. And I work my schedule so that it works convenient for my clients.
I think that is fabulous. Mm-hmm. Very client centric. And we need more of that. And one last piece I want to make sure that we bring up in this whole teamwork and wraparound services, don't forget education.
Yes.
It is really important to be an informed buyer.
Yes.
Or seller, for that matter. And while your realtor can help you, your lender can help you, but HUD certified counselors can help you as well. And Clinch Powell has a whole department. There is no charge for those services. So even if you don't think you're ready financially or whatever, give us a call. Let us help you.
Yeah.
And Miss Lindy, how would they reach Clinch Powell?
Well, they can reach us on our website at clinchpal.net, where you can apply for anything and everything and find all the information you need. Or you can call us at 865-828-5927.
And Kayla, how would somebody reach Moving and Grooving if I want to go out and I want to find my dream home? What do I do?
The best thing to do is to call the office's mobile number, which is 931-337-5748. We do take text messages as well.
I love that. Before we leave, we've got just like 2 more minutes. So number one thing that you would like everyone to know about Moving and Grooving.
The number one thing I want people to know about Moving and Grooving.
I know. I just put you on the spot. I know I did.
Moving and Grooving is truly the home of the wraparound experience. So if you have a situation that is just a little different, you're kind of embarrassed to let someone come in your home and see that you've got it kind of dumped up, it's okay. We're here for that. We're not scared of a job. No job is too small. No job is too big.
And you're going to get a great personalized experience with Kayla Hahn. I say this because you have worked with so many of our buyers with Clinch Powell. You've taken them to the finish line. You're a huge advocate of Clinch Powell, and I appreciate that so much. I know Lindy does as well. So, Kayla, thank you so much, and congratulations on an amazing 5 years. 5 years.
I know.
You believe it? 5 years. Owns her own company, Moving and Grooving. I love it, Kayla.
Thank you so much.
For Miss Kayla Hahn and Moving and Grooving Realty, are we going Realty or are we calling it Kayla?
Moving and Grooving Realty Solutions.
There you go. I want to make sure I get the whole proper title. And for Lindy Turner with Clinch Powell, I'm Stace Cargi. You reach me at 865-274-8598 or Stace, S-T-A-C-E, at clinchpowell.net. Until next week, we're celebrating home ownership all month. This is WAEW's Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.